Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I spend 30 minutes with you here from 8:30 to 9 o'clock, 5 o'clock to 5:30 of an afternoon on WMIE 91.5 FM and over on WWBC 1510 AM. The program rebroadcasts there. I think it's 10:30. And we go through various things. This is not a program where I'm just playing rebroadcast of sermons or things like that. I'm actually going strategically through the Word of God, teaching on various principles. Right now we're talking about the imperative of love, the essentiality of love, God's type of love that benefits us and is intended to operate through us. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 here in just a moment. But before we get there, I want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air. You know, summertime in Florida is really, really warm, and heat indices can get up there into life-threatening conditions. Yesterday, I was having you pray for our workers that are outside in the brutal elements. And so a lot of times they'll start early of a morning so that hopefully they get done before it gets super, super hot out there. But today I'd like to tell you about Wyrick Air, because air conditioning is... it's a luxury. When I was working retail, I counted it as a non-taxable benefit because the air conditioning was working. But during the excessive heat, it can be it can be life-threatening if you don't have some place to get cool. If you're looking for someone that you can trust to give you sound advice. A couple of weeks ago on July 4th, I was playing golf with him, and he was telling me that he had a couple of customers, one that needed a system to be replaced, and they were looking for a temporary solution for that wasn't available. And they told the customer that. Second was they had someone that is getting close to needing a new system, but they were able to do a repair on that. They look at your circumstances and they tell you, you know, what the options are. If it can't be repaired, it can't be repaired. If, you know, you can buy a little bit more time, they can tell you about that as well. They want to give you the wisest choice and the options. Look, they've been doing this here in Brevard County for over 50 years. They're professionals. They're licensed and insured. Their license number CAC 182-1309. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. They primarily work in residential settings, but do some light commercial work as well. They strive to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Dennis pastors a church in Geneva, here in Central Florida. And they travel all throughout Brevard County. And look, they provide us with great service at Merritt Assembly of God. They are also the people who service my air conditioning at home. And I am so thankful to know that I've got a provider that is trustworthy and will provide me a great service at a great value. They may be a great resource for you. 321-632-9538. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31 says this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That's where we're going to end the reading today. So our reading today starts with, what then shall we say to these things? Well, these things that are being referred to are the things that we've talked about, that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. He prays for us in ways that we are not able to pray. He prays for us because he searches the hearts. He knows what the mind of God is, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know that God works all things together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, he called, he justified, and these he also glorified. What a wonderful blessing it is to be called a child of God. So how do we respond? What do those things mean in a practical way for us involving our spiritual life? So in answer to that question, what then shall we say to these things? There are a number of different statements that are made, and some of the corresponding clarifications that come in response to this. The first one is this: if God is for us, who can be against us? That statement means a great deal to believers. If you are not a believer and you are quoting those words, you need to understand that while the statement is true for you, the application of that statement looks entirely different. And I will explain that in a little bit. In the Old Testament, there was a time where people were quoting the scriptures, quoting the covenant of God, and God's response is, what right do you have to make those statements? What gives you the right to make those claims? Because those promises are made to a covenant people of God. And in the New Testament, the covenant was not only expressed to those who were descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, but they are promises for all believers who walk in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. So if God is for us, and as believers, I assure you, God is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? So on our Wednesday night Bible study, we've been talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Pharaoh was the ruler of the mightiest nation on the planet at that point in time. Very oppressive, was considered to be a god, and he wasn't, little g, by the way. And there were a multitude of other deities, little d, that were supposed to keep the children of Egypt safe. But when the one true God showed up on the scene and Pharaoh resisted, it became obvious that Pharaoh and the little gods of Egypt were no match for for the one true God. But yet God was still for them. He wanted them. You know, there could have been a completely different outcome had Pharaoh decided to choose a path of submission for himself instead of a path of resistance. So if God is for us, that means he's leading us, he's motivating us, he's directing our steps, he's giving us the words to say. He's not only worked in for our past failures, but he is currently working in us, setting us up for success both in the future and for eternity. And one of the other things we studied was that sin impacts every level of life, every area of our life. And the same can be said when God is working for us. He is looking to bring us to a condition of salvation. He is our Savior. We are saved from our past sins. He is working in us and saving us on a regular basis. And in the future, we will ultimately be saved. We will have an ultimate condition of wholeness and well-being in every area of our life for all of eternity. That's what it means for God to be working for us. So I want God working for me spiritually, but I also want him working for me intellectually. I want him working for me relationally and networking. I want him working on my behalf as far as family members and strategic placement. I want him working in me physically. I want him working in me financially and every area of my life. That's what it means for God to be working for us. So that's what it means. And when God is working for us, it doesn't matter if Pharaoh, it doesn't matter if economics, the natural economy that is going on, it doesn't matter if that's trying to work against us. It doesn't matter what is going on with anybody else. If God's working for us, everything is going to be okay. No one will be able to withstand God's working, God's actions on our behalf. Now, what I said is if there's a person that's an unbeliever, they're not pursuing God, they're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto him. If they're not seeking any of those things, God's still working for them. It just looks different. So God makes the sun shine on the righteous and the unjust, the just and the unjust. He does. The fact that we're still alive, God's working for us. God positioned Philip, moved him from a dynamic revival that was impacting an entire city, moved him by the Spirit out into the desert, out into the wilderness, where there was one guy on a chariot that was traveling across that barren landscape. And God positioned a believer to help him to understand the scriptures. He was baptized out there, found a body of water, wanted to be baptized, and Philip's gone. The Ethiopian eunuch goes back to his country and brings the gospel with him because God was working for people who weren't even believers yet. So, there's a passage, it's in Samuel, I believe it's in 2 Samuel, and I believe it is in Psalm 18 as well. It's David wrote both it's the same passage that David wrote, just in two different places. And it says this: God opposes the shrewd. He doesn't oppose them because he hates them. He opposes them because the path that they're on is the path of destruction. So, the fact that God is standing in their way is actually God working for their benefit. So let me say this. When God says yes, his yes is for us. When God says no, it's not God being mean. It's God working for us again. And remember, this started up in verse number 28. We know that all things work together for good. So if God is for us, who can be against us? What's the outcome going to look like? And again, if you go back and listen to that program, I talked to you about the individual ingredients and elements. They may not be all that appealing when looked at through a magnifying glass where you're just isolating that one thing. But when you see the panoramic view from heaven, you see what God is doing. You see that God is working for us. So thank God for that. You know, Gamaliel made this one statement when Paul was on trial. He said, guys, we don't want to find ourselves fighting against God. I don't want to be, you know, at enmity with God. I want to be compliant with him. I don't want to be hostile towards him. It goes on. The second statement that it says, what then shall we say to these things? First one is, God is for us. Who can be against us? The second is, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Okay? So, when you are examining the challenges of life, Paul knew what it was like to preach openly. He knew what it was like to preach from a prison cell, praise from a prison cell. He knew what it was like to testify before kings. He had learned the secret of being content in whatever state that he was in. He said, the way that I evaluate this is, look at what God has given to us. He did not spare his own son. He gave the greatest treasure that heaven had to offer in Jesus Christ the Son, and he did not withhold him, but instead delivered him up, and get this, for us all. That for us all does not just mean to the church in Rome there. We look at that and say, you know what? The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is still available in 2026. There's still enough potency in the blood to forgive the sins of 8 billion people on the planet, have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all of the people that came before and the people who will come after, should the Lord tarry. Jesus came on mission to deliver God's people. And so Paul says, I want you to look at that when you're looking at all of the things that God is wanting to do in our life, and you see what he has already done in sending Jesus so that our sins could be forgiven, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we could spend forever in the presence of God, then Paul says this, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Okay? So, again, a promise that many people want to isolate without looking into the context. And so you realize that when Jesus comes into your life, he doesn't come as a singular gift, but instead he brings the entire entourage of heaven's blessings with him. So when he comes as the Lord, my Savior, he comes as the Lord, my God, the Lord, my King, my Savior, my healer, my peace, my provider, the one who's present. He comes as Emmanuel, God with me. He comes and he comes with all of the blessings of heaven. Thank God that fear does not live as a dictator over our lives with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Okay? So, will also freely give us all things. So, I don't know about you, but I like getting gifts. I like giving gifts. I like receiving gifts. And a lot of times, whenever, you know, Christmas comes around or birthdays or things come up, there's sometimes where we'll say, oh, there's another gift. Where's that gift at? And the thing is, you don't want to miss out on something that has been obtained and provided so that another person can have it and utilize it. And so please understand that God wants to provide us not only Christ, he wants to provide us wisdom. He wants to provide us the ability not only to be forgiven, but the ability to forgive, to pour out that offense as a drink offering to God. You and I, we have peace. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the Word of God. These are not in any particular order. They are just gifts that are provided for us. He provides us co-laborers in Christ. He provides us access to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Please understand, God is not working on a rationing system. He's wanting to provide everything that we need to be successful in the purpose and in the mission that God has given to us. And so, I don't know about you, I want to avail myself of that. I make the statement often, I thank God I'm not God. God is much better at being God than I am. I tell people that Jesus is a much better Savior than I am. I hope you do not live with a Messiah complex where you think you've got to be the one that saves and all of that sort of stuff, because only Jesus can do that. And I knew a person that took a personality profile survey one time, and it came back and they said, you have a Messiah complex. Wasn't me, but I've probably suffered from that to some degree in the past. And they said, you know, your personality profile is one of the rarest that is out there. And one of the things you're going to be drawn to is you're going to be drawn to broken and dysfunctional people. And unfortunately, you're also got the personality that is going to try and solve that yourself. Listen, only Jesus can fix broken people. And one of the other things that it said about that particular individual is that they would be highly prized in the business community because they had the rarest personality profile that was out there. And so I'm not trying to set you up for failure, because if you try and do the work that only Jesus can do, you're going to be extremely frustrated. God, the Holy Spirit, is great at convicting people of their sins. You and I, not so much. So I want to encourage you to allow God the Holy Spirit to do his work, and you and I focus on the things that he's called us to do. I will also tell you this, that the Word of God, which is settled truth forever and ever in heaven and on earth, that he's given us that Word so that we can be successful in dealing with other people and in our life and our relationships and our forever. And so thank God for the Word that he has provided. And so if you wonder if God is going to be able to come through, I want to remind you this, that he provided manna for the children of Israel in an atmosphere with no grocery stores, and he did it for 40 years. When they needed water, he caused water to come forth out of a rock. In the New Testament, it says that the rock followed them through their journeys, and that rock was Christ. I'm telling you that God is the provider. The greatest thing he provides is himself, but when he provides himself, he provides everything that he has to offer. He is an all-in type of God. So if God is for us, who can be against us? No one successfully. But the second thing that we ask, what then shall these things mean, is how shall he not with him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? God gives us every good and perfect gift. That's what he gives us. And so for us, we trust in his timing. Okay. And so I knew a guy, his job was the head of procurement. People would come to him at his job and say, this is what I need. And then he would go out, he would find it, and he would make sure that what was needed got to the person who needed it at the time it was needed, and the price was paid. I want you to understand, God has been in the procurement department and in the provision department of your life and my life for a long, long time. Let me just say this to you one more time. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.